The following program is paid for by Edge Construction and does not reflect the views or opinions of Good Karma Brands or ESPN Madison. Now that we've hammered that out, let's get to work. From the Everlight Solar Studio, this is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. Here's Jim Rutledge.
Welcome into the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Give Mike a call at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgeconstructioncompany.com to browse their work and read reviews. You go to Howe's Facebook and Instagram to see more of their work as well. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Jim.
Fantastic. Today we are talking about a whole home remodel. And obviously these are big jobs. It's in the name there. So the first question I'll ask you is like the bandwidth of Edge Construction. Obviously you guys do the new construction. You do a lot of trim work and a lot of framing for that. So you have the basis there and it allows you to do a lot of work. But like how many whole home remodels can you have going on through the course of, let's say, a calendar year?
Yeah, well, that's a tough question. So, yeah, our company does, about half our company works on Dane County new construction side, and we basically support builders there. So we do two-thirds of the new houses in Dane County. We do the inside woodwork. So it's like 600-some houses a year, 700 houses a year, something like that. It's a lot of houses. So we have a lot of good trim carpenters. And then on the framing side, so we stick build houses for other builders, over 100 houses a year, so do like 10% of the market. And and then we've got a remodel side. And remodel side, we're I would say mostly in our past we've been the inside stuff, kitchens, baths. If you come to our showroom, we've got, you know, cabinets, tops, all the flooring choices. We do most of that work in-house, basically except for plumbing and heating. But on the whole house remodel side, or the let's just call them bigger remodels, we have a lot of horsepower, so it allows us to kind of do some of those bigger jobs. We've got neighborhoods where we've, you know, every year we have jobs where we tear the roof off a house and put it on a second floor, or do additions, or, you know, these are very tough, complicated jobs from design all the way through getting them finished. So you need a lot of resources to do that. And I think like, I'm pretty sure we're one of the only companies with that kind of horsepower, especially in-house. Like, we don't have to go outside and look for it, you know, to get those jobs done.
How do you help when people are trying to figure out, do I do a whole home remodel, or do I move, or do you tear down? I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. So what are some things you keep an eye out for as far as, like, I mean, I know you guys are an upfront company of, like, hey, maybe this might be better to tear down and rebuild, or maybe you want to look into moving because it's going to be super expensive to have to like do what you're trying to do. So how do you kind of figure out when you're advising people and walking through the idea of doing a whole home remodel?
Yeah. You know, for a homeowner, they don't really have a way to benchmark this. You know, they're not, and I wouldn't expect a homeowner to be able to hit a number on what it costs to do a whole home remodel or a bathroom remodel. You know, you got to go through that process of doing enough design initially to get first pricing. You got to build a scope of work. I mean, that's the scope of work for us is like, it's just a list of everything that's going to happen and all the products that are going to go into that job to make it, to finish it out. And then you can start to get to some pricing. So, we're conscious of things like we don't want to price you out of your neighborhood. So we tend to do a little research on what houses have, if houses have sold in your neighborhood. There hasn't been a lot of that lately. Yeah. But what we think those houses on that street are worth. And if you're in Middleton and people are buying little square boxes for $800,000 and really investing in them, and that it seems just like a place that that a lot of people want to live, there's a lot of pressure on housing there. You know, you can invest in those houses and it's really hard to get out of the range of that neighborhood. I mean, there's probably some houses that have been torn down and rebuilt that are worth a lot of money. And there's been some really aggressive remodels over there that, you know, we've done quite a few remodels over there, over the years. And, it seems like you don't have that kind of pressure. Now, if you're doing this in, where you're from in Oregon, yep. I think you want to be conscious of that. You know, it's not that it's not a place that people want to live, but it's not Middleton, right?
Yep.
And how values are probably double over there. So you have to be a little more careful. We've had homeowners generally when we tear down a house and build a new one, it's more the homeowner almost has to talk us into it, because I always feel like houses are savable, you know. We just did one last year, but we had one a few years ago where the lot was in Monona, and the homeowner was talking into it, and I really wasn't on board until I went there and looked at it and went, oh, this lot is huge. It's a special place to live, really nice spot. The house on it was needed roof, foundation, windows. The foundation was breaking away. It was only 4 feet tall anyways. You couldn't even stand up in there. The inside, the homeowner did a bunch of stuff themselves, but it still was never going to be nice. And, you know, there's a growing family. And so yeah. I went, okay, you win. This one's got to go. But there's been times that we've done whole remodels, like on maybe a farmhouse that's been in the family for 150 years. People don't want to tear it down because it's got all this history there. But we're pretty honest. Okay, I don't want you, we did one maybe 5 years ago out east of Madison, and we could have easily built a much nicer house and just tore that one down. But I understood where the homeowner was coming from, you know, so there's a lot of reasons to do this or not do it.
So one of the other things you can talk about is that you want a whole home remodel, and they give you guys a call. But one of the things, if you're doing that kind of work, is you're going to want to make sure that, like you talked about, roof, siding, insulation, windows, like that's a consideration when you're talking about a whole home remodel.
Yeah, it sure is, because it seems like less experienced, maybe younger homeowners, you can find all this cool stuff online and all these great looks, and when they buy their first house or maybe even second house, they're not looking at, first thing they're not looking at is the roof. They're not going, they have dreams for the kitchen and maybe some curb appeal and some other things. And so we want to make sure that there aren't major problems, structural problems. We've worked on a house, I believe, three times. It's on the west side. Great homeowners for us to work with. Love these people. But when I first walked in their house, they wanted to do their kitchen the first go around. And when I was walking up, I noticed there was about a foot deep ice dam on the outside of the house. And when I got inside, I could see, water, had come down the inside of the walls. And it's just a homeowner that didn't have the experience to know, so I just was fairly blunt probably and said, hey, before you go there, we got to fix this ice dam. Like, okay, we're going to need a plan for this. And it wasn't a simple fix. It was a very tough fix that we didn't do, but I gave advice on how to do it and tried to save them some money. But I think that was good for us, because I don't want to be the guy that just comes in and says, yeah, well, they also need a foundation fix, by the way. But I think that had a Middleton address, and that's why it helped really investing in this house. But so those things got taken care of first, and then we looked at mechanics and made sure there weren't any glaring problems there. And then you start getting to, okay, can we change our layout? Can we do some of these things that are, I don't want to say they're cosmetic, because the kitchen really, has that element, but it's got a lot of nuts and bolts there to worry about.
So one of the things that I would imagine, or we can talk about some of the things that are like, why do a whole home remodel? Because obviously it can be disruptive / probably maybe get you out of your house completely. I'm sure there's cases to do. You could do a whole floor remodel and then another time do the top floor. But I think one of the things would be, it's going to be obviously very expensive, but it's the most cost efficient way to do something.
Yeah, right. So you're saying versus staging it, there's a lot of houses and homes that we just seem to always be working on every couple of years. And yes, could they have saved money if they did if we did the kitchen the first go around and then the master bath and then I don't know what else, something else. If you can do all that at once, I always think for those secondary projects, you're getting about a 25 or 30% discount. That's the nearest I can dial it in, because if we're doing the kitchen and we can include the master bath, there's going to be drywall in both places. When I'm doing a budget for that master bath, I don't have to price drywall like we're coming in there specially, bringing all the tools in, starting all over. You know, I know it's an add-on. The tools are all they're going to be there. The person that's going to be doing it is already going to be there, and so there's an economy of scale. Like our plumber, it's one of the only subs that we use. We get special, you know, we get better pricing if they're already there, you know. So there is now, not everybody can do that. Not everybody has the wherewithal to do it. And generally, you know, this does mean borrowing money for some people. It gives me a good feeling when somebody saves and is able to pay for that remodeling. Like, I feel like, okay, this is good, good responsibleness. But, you know, some houses are just too far gone, right? It needs too much. If you do the kitchen, it means tearing down some walls. Well, now you're kicking into flooring pretty much everywhere. We don't want to put Band-Aids on stuff. You want some continuity there. So it's that whole house remodel starts to look really good.
Well, and another thing quickly we can talk about here is that you talk about the disruption. And obviously it's a major disruption at the moment of the whole home remodel.
Yeah.
But if you are doing job by job every couple of years, well, then it's like, here we go again. We're going to have this disruption. And obviously you guys do a great job keeping that to a minimum. But there is kind of a balance of, if you can afford it, there is a economy of scale, and the idea of the disruption is one big giant, like, take your medicine disruption. Yeah. And then your house is set.
Yeah. And, you know, generally people are getting out of there for, you know, a whole home remodel. A lot of times is 4 to 6 months for us. I think that's a pretty common number. So they're renting for half a year but you know, you're not having to live through the mess and the disruption. And, you know, you start thinking about, you have pets, right?
Yep.
Which our people have gotten to know really well.
Yep.
But you have kids and you got people in and out, and it is disruptive. And it's like, you know, I'm sure after a while you're like, I wish this would just be done.
It's not even so much that, it's more of like, you know, you don't feel, you're not going to feel fully settled when, you know, people are having to come in and out and work and everything.
Yep. Yeah. It's a little awkward. It can be really tough on the pets. You have like the most mellow dog ever, but you know, that's not everybody. So it can be tough that way too.
This is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Call Mike at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgecontructioncompany.com to browse their work and read reviews. You can go to House, Facebook, and Instagram to see more of their work as well. And we're talking about whole home remodeling and the process of that. And the next thing we wanted to talk about, you know, we talked about the cost efficiency and fewer disruptions from your daily life. Another thing here is, and this is kind of probably in air quotes here, but faster results compared to remodeling room by room over several years. So again, if you have the hopes, if you moved into a full-on fixer-upper, the perfect scenario would be dedicate 4 to 6 months that Edge could come in there and fix it all up instead of the piecemeal, because obviously it's just going to take time, and then the actual coming in and out and setting up and getting the dumpsters and all that stuff back out there. Over the course of the actual amount of, if you had four remodels done to get your whole house to where you want it to be, that's going to take way more time than it would be just to have it done one time.
Yeah. And, right. It kind of goes back to like, you know, how much do you want to be in construction? The studies say, right, by the way, the, you know, everything gets studied. And, my whole life, a lot of homeowners did a lot of stuff, like nights and weekends. They worked on their house. They did things. That is changing a little bit to where people's free time is getting to be more important to them. And I think for there's almost nothing worse for a younger family to always live in a construction zone, right? Like your kids aren't sleeping normally. They don't. I mean, my grandkids don't want to eat when different people are there. Like, there's all this weird stuff that happens. And so, like, yeah, there's a couple of remodels that we do every year, and for people that maybe go south for the winter, maybe snowbird. And I always think, how great would it be to come back and you leave and your house is one way, you come back and it's totally changed and different. And with today's technology. I mean, we're FaceTiming and Zooming, and
yeah,
you know, it's not that they have no idea what it's looking like or the progress, but yeah, I haven't gone through it myself. Like, I've remodeled my own houses. It's a rare form of torture, right? I don't know if you want to be doing it. You don't want to be doing it, you know, in and out for half a dozen years to get the result you want. Plus, I think, like, there's a real positive to designing all this at once, and, you know, with the stuff that's available, you know, so that you have some kind of comprehensive plan, right, to move forward.
Yeah, so that was one of the things said on here, is a universal or unified interior design look across the entire house. Now, as someone that has done kind of two different jobs with the guys, you do a great job, and I don't think anyone could tell that this wasn't all done at once, and it can all tie together. So it's not like it's mutually exclusive, but obviously when it's all being done at once, it really can make sure everything is fully tied together.
Have you ever, did you get into the flip shows when they were?
Oh yeah. And every once in a while. And I mean, I'll be honest with, like, the way TV is now, you don't just like kind of flip through the channels you used to. So back when I had like cable, I would flip through and my wife would be like, oh, let's just leave this on and Love It or List It or flipping. And you'd watch some of those shows. And I watch them less now, but I've seen plenty of them. Yeah.
I mean, I think going to be dealing with the aftermath of the flip culture for the rest of my career. I'm pretty convinced.
Probably, yeah.
Because, you know, when you go in, so this is, I'm bringing it up because that's kind of the opposite of what, when we're talking about unifying this design and coming up with a master plan, and doing this at once, at least the planning stage. Flipping was, we'll walk into houses now that have four or five different types of floor, on the main level. And it's like, well, okay, whatever was, you know, on the clearance rack at the big box store that weekend, that's probably what went in. And there was like, nothing flows, nothing's, you know, and homeowners are smart enough to know when you buy this, it's like, well, okay, I don't like this. This is driving me a little nuts, you know? And I wonder how much of this bigger type job remodeling that's driving, because it's still pretty common for us to see it, you know, it's just sort of disjointed. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen one of these houses. If you've seen one of these houses, yeah.
One of the things that we can talk about now is kind of how to actually get this set up. And one of the things here, and obviously you can talk through your actual processes at Edge Construction, but what it says here, which I think kind of aligns with how you guys do things, is define your visions and goals. That's kind of the first step there. So when you meet with Edge, and these will all kind of, I think, kind of go in a pretty good order here. Yeah. It's a little bit reversed. It says hire the right team. But let's assume that you've decided to work with Edge. So now you sit down and you're kind of defining that vision and goals, which then obviously ties a little bit into budget as well.
So, I mean, to me, that's kind of a two-part process. I would say about 80% of homeowners have put a lot of thought into this, and even some of them document it. You know, they come up with a list. They're this is what I hate about my house list, or this is what I want to change, or what I think could happen. And then when we get with them and we start brainstorming, what that is a chance to sort of refine that, because when you're living in that house all the time, you can get a little bit of tunnel vision, right? You're thinking like, well, my kitchen is this way and it just has to be this way, and I don't like this. And where somebody coming in from the outside, it's like this a little 10-foot away view, and they might come up with different ideas. And if you're working with designers, like, we have some really good designers, and they're just experienced enough to know what can change, maybe there's possibilities you haven't thought of. And so we want to throw that stuff in the mix. So I think in terms sometimes of, okay, if we have this, if we get the wish list together and get it all out there, and there's a lot of times I go, well, we can get 90% of the way there, you know, on a remodel. Like, if you're building fresh, sky's the limit, right? You can change, you can modify, you can build it exactly how you want. You do have to work within the confines of this house. And so, like, if you can get like 80% of the way there, you know, there's usually some things you just can't change. But for some people, that's a really great goal. Because it allows them to sometimes stay in the same neighborhood or the same school district, or be around their friends and neighbors who they like, or maybe mom lives down the street or something. And you know, you had mentioned early about, well, you know, how do we stay or do we go? that question has kind of been answered for us. Like, there's no, there's not stuff for sale, right?
Yeah.
It's very limited, and there's a lot of competition still for it. There was a blip a couple months ago where it looked like that was changing some, and then let's see what happens when the interest rates come down a little bit, if they do, because I think there's going to be just more pressure on housing.
Yes, and I think that's a great way to kind of talk about when you're talking about establishing your budget, because look, when you're looking to buy a new house, interest rates, all these things of like, and the actual like mental or physical cost, like I think I would argue pretty strongly that it is still a bigger mental toll to move than it is to actually have a home remodel done. Yeah, because moving is a lot. And then there is an emotional part of moving that if you've been in the house for a while, your kids grow up and all those sorts of things. So like it is lots of different layers to that as opposed to doing a remodel. So when you are establishing your budget, there's the actual hard cost of what everything will cost, but also to you, it's to a homeowner, it's more of like, well, I'm saving money on, you know, closing costs and all these other things and movers. And so when you're trying to balance that out from a homeowner's perspective, I think you got to consider all that. But then how does Edge kind of balance out a budget?
Yeah. The budget is, I just always say it's just math. And I can be completely honest and tell you that I hate giving people those numbers because they're, you know, it's always a lot of money. It's just, but it kind of is what it is. We talked about all these reasons to stay there. You know, you touched on that emotional connection. I don't know anybody that doesn't have an emotional connection to the house they're living
right,
in.
Right, like of course, yeah.
And so you're going to do that. It's not just the – we alluded a little bit to interest rates. It's not just the budget that it's going to take to do this job. For some people that have a 3% loan or something and now have to go back to the bank and borrow to do a bigger job, it's not fun, right?
No,
that's, like that's going to figure in. And so I did see, I don't know if it's off topic, but I did see a stat that said about 15% of existing homeowners, if they could replace their interest rate, would look for a different house, would move. Which, so maybe that would take a little pressure off housing, right? Stuff out moving and on the market.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Well, there's too many people. I think there's a lot of people at that point that were like, the interest rates, especially if they refinanced during COVID, were so low.
Yeah.
And they're never going to get that low again, at least anytime soon. That was kind of record at the time. But I think if people felt like some people might be almost not quite tripling, but more than doubling their interest rate. And I think that's just a hard pill to swallow.
It's pretty tough. And it's really, really held things back. Right. The budget thing. So what we're doing is, that first meeting we want the next time we talk to you or reach out to you, we want to reach out with what we think it's going to take to do the job. I think best practice is put the whole list in there. Let's just see pie in the sky. What if we could do everything on the list? And a whole home remodel, that's what you're doing. Almost nobody can do everything on their list, by the way. Like it usually doesn't. There's choices to make. There's scale backs that have to happen or workarounds. And that's another spot where a good designer can be really helpful to you. I'm sure you saw that in smaller ways.
Absolutely,
on your bath and the other remodel we did in your house. But that budget is now an ongoing discussion. Every time we see you, generally people are adding things to the scope of work, which affects the budget. So we're trying to give you feedback on that to keep you realistic on things. And budgets can just be runaway trains sometimes. Like the temptation is, okay, the hardest question is where do I stop? And the temptation is just to keep going, well, if we're doing this, we might as well do this. Well, yeah, there's pretty big budget implications sometimes to those things. So I think the best practice, like from our side and from a homeowner's side, is you can't call us and say we want to do a huge addition for $20,000. We know that's not going to happen. We don't expect you to hit the number, but we want to know that you're like remotely somewhere, close, and so I think a lot of people look at it like, from our standpoint, the bigger the job is, the more feedback from you right away I want on what your budget is. So, because even to get to first pricing on a bigger remodel, we'll have 20 hours of CAD work, which is expensive. We do it in house, but it still really adds up. We're putting that out there before we get a check from you. Like we want to get to first pricing. So we've got to build it in CAD. Then we build a spreadsheet and then we're coming to you. So, if it's a bigger job, I will ask you where do you think you can go on budget? What's realistic? A lot of homeowners look at like, well, I'm not going to tell the car salesman how much money I've got, but and on a smaller job, that's fine. But on the big stuff, we got to have that talk, right? And I think it's fair for both sides.
This is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Call Mike at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgeconstructioncom.com to browse their work and read reviews. You can go to House, Facebook, and Instagram to look more of their work as well. And one of the things I think is important, and obviously you guys are confident in how anyone wants to investigate you, but it did say hire the right team. So you've given us advice in general. What should people be looking for? And I think it's important, you've talked about it before, as far as there's a quality of work. There's a, for a whole home remodel especially, a meshing of personalities too, and I think the designers are going to make, just making sure all those things work together. But what are some suggestions you make when you're hiring the team?
Yeah, so if you know, we're kind of coming out of a time where we still get people that will say, well, you know, will you do the demo and frame up on my addition? I've got a friend that does concrete, and my uncle's electrician. I go, well, we don't love doing that because there's just a lot of unknowns there, and the schedule, we're very schedule driven, and so when we're less in control of that stuff, things actually get harder in our world, not easier. The other thing is, I think that's a very tough road for a homeowner to go down. Even, you know, but in the past, lots of people did it and felt like they saved money, and that was good. But That was a different time. Right now, I think the figure is there's somewhere around a 7 million job skills gap in, you know, not just construction, but skilled labor. And we fill that here. Edge, by the way, we always want to talk to good people. We're always looking for good people. And that's just an ongoing process if you're in this business or any other construction-related business, for sure. And so, like, there aren't the skilled people out there just kind of winging it on their own that there used to be. That lots of them tend to work for companies like ours, and so it's just gotten tougher to piecemeal this together. I know the subs that work for us, our heating people and our plumbers, they like working for us because we provide them consistent work and they know what they're supposed to do when they get there. We have very defined things about the job, how we want them to do it, you know, so they're I think we get better pricing because when somebody really knows what they're supposed to do, then they can price it well. If there's a lot of things up in the air about this job, then they've got to build in some contingency money to those bids. So, when you're looking at somebody like us, which I would call us a design build, we've got everything under the same roof. We're trying to streamline the process in every way that we can and control as much as we can. So, it's our cabinets, it's our countertops, it's our flooring choices. You know, we have all that stuff in house, and design, which is like this thing that never seems to end, right? Designers are a resource from the start of the job, from the first day we walk in there and until the very end of that job. They're the last people you see on the job. And so having that under the roof is pretty helpful. I think makes things run really well.
The next thing here is, and I think this kind of falls into the scope of work. So it says develop a detailed plan. So let's see, you hire Edge and everything's rolling here. You do get a very, and I can speak from experience twice here, a very detailed, very helpful scope of work.
Yeah. So our scope of work, the scope takes you through, starts off with just a basic description of the job, but then it goes into demo and framing and generally things in the way that they're going to happen in that job. So in a job like yours, your scope was probably 5-6 pages, right?
Yeah.
We've had whole home remodels where it's 20 pages. You know, like it's just, it's so much going on there and so many things that have to be spelled out. What we're trying to do is give you a resource as a homeowner where you, at any point in time, you can look at it and find the spec on a sink and Google that thing. And if the sink pops up and it's the one that you wanted, our scope act, we actually try to include color pictures of those products and tile and flooring choices. And it's a resource for our people too. It's like this this Bible on the job. Our carpenters will call our designers and say, well, what am I supposed to do here? Our designers say, look up the scope. You know, it's there. Forces them to do their homework a little bit. And so I think if you don't have a detailed scope and you're signing a contract for, I don't know, it's always a lot of money, $20,000 or $200,000, you're risking a lot of things there because my brother just went through this, did a pretty big remodel where he lives, I read his contract. I said, well, what kind of, you know, he's talking about replacing windows. What kind of windows? Anderson. I said, well, that's fine, but it doesn't say it here. And then I said, well, are they Anderson 100s or Anderson 400s or Anderson Custom? Anderson 400s. I'm like, well, you know, nothing here says you're getting that window. So I think it's better to have that kind of stuff in writing and all those specifics so that, you know what you're getting and we know what we have to deliver, right?
The next thing here, I think it's worth noting, it says secure permits and prepare the site. Now, that is something that the homeowner is not doing.
No. So if we are doing any kind of addition, or it could be a freestanding garage in the back or adding on to that house in any way, the first stop on permitting is with zoning, because zoning can thumbs up or thumbs down. If they say, well, the house, when it was originally built, encroached on the setback and nobody did anything about it. So if you're going to do addition, you have to step the addition back so it meets the present code. There's things that we sometimes don't know. Every municipality, every governing body, you know, I talked about Middleton and Oregon, but you throw in Verona, you throw in City of Madison, and even in certain areas that changes within the city. The rules change. Setbacks might be 5 feet from the lot line to the foundation in Madison. I think it's more like 3 feet, but depends on if it's a garage or if it's a house. It's different setbacks. There's height restrictions. There's all kinds of stuff that has to get done first. You have to have plans to get zoning. You know, we still don't have a building permit yet. So they look at things. City of Madison, you can't cover with hard surfaces more than, I think, 50 or 60% of the lot, because they want rain to be able to absorb. They want to control runoff. It's a smart idea. But, you know, you think you can do one thing and then talk to zoning, and they're like, well, you can try to get a variance. You can try to break the rules legally, but it almost never happens. So it's best to know what you're doing with that stuff.
So the next thing here is that it talks about demolition and structural work. So in general, for a whole home remodel, I mean, what is that? Because that's how it starts. And we didn't have a whole home remodel, but we had a lot of work done with replacing all the fruitwood trim in our house and the doors to a white trim. That took up a lot of space in the house. The demo day, I think it was about a couple of days, but yeah. It was a lot. It was a full crew in the house, and everything came out, and it was shocking, like in a good way. I was like, wow, just the ability to be able to get this all cleaned out so quickly was impressive. For a whole home remodel, it's probably maybe different. Maybe
it's the same. Much more, yeah, right. So we had years that was a day or two. And it's not just tear the stuff out. They probably did a lot of cleaning afterwards.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course,
and
yeah.
Got to haul stuff away.
Yeah, there was nothing like outside of things missing, there was no like sign you guys were even there. It gets out, you know?
So we finished a remodel earlier this year down on Dayton Street. It was a big old house. It used to be a rental, and two sisters bought it. And now we turned it into a single house. It had been abused in its life. Plaster was falling down all over. There were weird flooring and strange stuff going on in there. The electrical was a nightmare. Basically, all the mechanicals were a disaster. So there was a lot of demo. I think, you know, we probably had 2 weeks worth of demo there. It was pretty intense. So the amount of time we're budgeting for that demo is much different than for years.
Yep.
Those homeowners weren't living there, so that helped quite a bit. You know, like we're not having to, you don't have to spit shine it every day, right? We do a good clean, but you're a little less percentage of your time spent cleaning. But yeah, it's and demo is. Okay, that your demo was super simple. We didn't have to worry about anything structural.
Yep.
This house, we added windows, so there's demo there of siding and plaster and framing. There were things in the basement that we saw and knew that we had to change to sort of bring up to code and make safe and things like that. And a lot of that gets handled during the demo portion too.
This is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Call Mike at 608-636-3343 and go to edgeconstructioncompany.com to browse their work and read reviews, and go to House, Facebook, and Instagram to see more of their work. We've talked through a lot of things, talked about demo, and then there's, why don't you, because obviously we don't have a lot of time left here, but you can kind of walk through, I know there's parts where there's going to be electrical and HVAC, there's going to be drywall and replacing more mechanicals, and then there's also finishing work too. So kind of talk through those timelines.
Yeah, so on a typical remodel, like, okay, this one downtown, we had a lot of fixing to do, right? So we tore down a lot of plaster. We had a couple weeks of demo. When we opened things up, we found unsupported beams. We found, you know, loads coming down the center of the house onto nothing, or metal posts in the basement that didn't have footings underneath them, and so there was things to fix up. So that all happens in, if we're changing the layout, we had to build some walls, right? That's all framing. Then you get mechanicals. So you mentioned electric and plumbing, and we generally, a couple weeks accomplishes that stuff. You know, on the longer side, it's amazing how fast they can fix things. And some of those trades can work together. Like, you know, plumbers and heating people, it's fine if they're in there together as long as everybody has enough room to move around. So they're helpful on the schedule. Insulation has gotten to be something that I concentrate quite a bit on. And I know I've talked about it before, but we have a lot of resources now to tighten up and protect this house from 10 below weather, right? And so if we, when we have a situation like that where we're peeling off everything, we're getting a look at it. This house was built in 1905, I think. Had a product I've seen a lot in my lifetime and never want to see again. It's basically a pressed, I don't know how to, it's like a mat. It's about a half inch thick in between the studs on the outside walls. So that's the only insulation. And it's straw and basically horsehair, believe it or not.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's not a great insulator either. So the house was freezing. So we were able to, you know, open that up, take all that stuff out. You're also breathing in some of that stuff as a homeowner if you're living in that house. So we want to get rid of that. And a combination of bat insulation and spray foam really, you know, if you know what you're doing there, you can really tighten up the house, get it much more comfortable. Even though you don't have a lot of space to insulate, you know, not a lot of room there to insulate, but it still makes quite a difference on the finished product.
So as you kind of the finishing work in general, though, of, like, that to me was
now we're getting to the fun stuff.
Yeah, but yeah. It was also like the surprising part of, and I guess at this point people might be able to, if they were out of their house, you tell me, like, that might be the time you can kind of be in your house because it's less invasive. It's honestly. It's, you know, you talked about the bit is math, and then there's construction with, like, putting everything together. This last bit, finishing work, I'd almost describe as art.
Yeah.
Because it really, I think, is the, and I can't speak to any, I've only used you guys, but, like, it's the separator of, especially from doing your do-it-yourself, but I think from a lot of different modelers, is the finishing work, because that's the part that really takes it from, like, oh, this job, if you left without doing finished work, like, this job's a B. And then, like, you put the finishing work, and it's an A+. You know, like, it takes it to that whole other level.
Yeah. And that's I always laugh in our Monday morning meetings because Dale, our electrician, love him. If we're talking about cool stair work, and, you know, I'm excited about that, his eyes glaze over. And then he wants to talk about, you know, bath fans and outlets, and he's all excited, and everybody else is taking a nap. But I like the you know, to me, that's the fun time. That's really, for homeowners, I think that's probably the most exciting time, when cabinets are going in, flooring is going in, and all the woodwork is starting to get done. And, you know, if you watch the shows on TV, it's like, well, that looks really easy and all that's happening, but you're not seeing all the steps that you go through to do it the right way, right? And I've had lots of homeowners go, you know what, I really thought I could do this, but after seeing, you know, all the steps that you go through to make this turn out the way it turns out, you know, wouldn't even have known where to start. And so it's that's where, like you said, the art comes in. And I think that's the luck of being a finished carpenter. You know, you're doing all that stuff. People get to see all your work forever. If you're an electrician, you know, you don't really get that, I guess.
Well, and to the opposite, and there was I was at a friend's house, and he like found, it was exterior remodeling. They had done some windows and roofing, and there was a local guy in town, and he knows him. He does a really good job. And he's like, especially for the price, but he's like, I look at it and there's just certain things. And he's like, I wasn't going to do this, but this guy was specifically, he's handy. And he's like, there's just little finishing things of like, there's a little gap here in the window, or like they didn't match it to the trim. And like, he's like, it drives me insane because I still paid them to do the job.
Yeah.
And like, that's what you're trying to avoid. I joked with, we had a deck put in, and obviously you guys don't really just do an ad hoc deck. So like, we had someone put a deck in, and there's little parts where I'm like,
yeah, what about that?
Yeah, they didn't do the finishing work. Like, you have two different boards just connected here, and I can see a weird seam. It's not the end of the world.
No.
You get what you pay for, and it's an outside deck. I wasn't as upset, but like, there is kind of that idea of that extra layer of finish. It kind of is a big separator.
It is, and so from my standpoint, that's a lot of times what I'm looking at is the level of finish that companies go to. There's some great companies in town that I think fall down just a little bit in that last 10%. You know, like if they just had a little better process, or you know, shined the light a little more, they, you know, they did all this great work building up to that, and then fall short right there. It's kind of a shame.
This has been the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show. I'm 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.